Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again.
That's right, folks. It's another visit with all the gang here at Melody Ranch. There's Pat Buttram, the Cass Colley Boys, the Gene Autry Blue Jeans, Carl Kottner's Melody Ranch Hardway 6, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. Right now, though, meet the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
I'm riding to Tennessee, 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 because my true love just waits for me in Tennessee. I've saved up a bushel of kisses, saved up a mountain of love. Soon we'll be Mr. and Mrs., closer than a hand in a glove. I'm riding to Tennessee, 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 because my true love just waits for me in Tennessee.
I saved up a bushel of kisses, saved up a mountain of love. Soon we'll be Mr. and Mrs., closer than a hand in a glove.
That's why I'm riding to Tennessee, 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 because my true love just waits for me in Tennessee. In Tennessee.
Well, greetings, friends and neighbors, and welcome again to Melody Ranch. Friends and neighbors, it's unlikely today that we give much thought to the development of cross-country travel. The slow and cumbersome pack trains gave way to the prairie schooner. Then came the smaller wagons, buggies, and the two-wheeled gig. You know, when I was a very small boy, I can remember seeing the last version of the old prairie schooner with 5-inch tires, 8 wheels, not more than 40 inches high, pulled by 8 pairs of oxen, called log wagons. And you know, even in those days, all the new public roads seemed to be pointing westward.
Covered wagon, roll me westward home. Covered wagon, o'er the plains we go. Dry and dreary, weak and weary, roll me westward home. Reeling, rocking, rolling, covered wagon over the prairie we roam. Reeling, rocking, rolling, covered wagon over the prairie to home.
Manual around any place, have you?
Your old what?
Scout Manual, Scout Manual. Don't tell me you didn't know I was once a spearing scout.
You? You were a Boy Scout?
No, a Girl Scout. I had more experience than you think.
Well, I might have known. What patrol were you in?
Well, now, I'll tell you. In my day, if a guy could howl like a wolf, he was put in the Wolf Patrol. If he could track through the woods like a panther, he was put in the Panther Patrol.
So?
Shake hands with the platoon leader of the Skunk Patrol.
Well, having been around you, I can understand the decision.
Well, thanks a lot.
Frankly, though, Patrick, I don't believe that you were ever a scout.
Is that so?
That's so.
Just you listen, Mr. Gene Artery. At one time in my gay, mad, carefree youth, I could make a fire in 3 seconds by merely rubbing two sticks together.
Oh, now, Patrick. You know, it's a physical impossibility to make a fire in 3 seconds by just rubbing two sticks together.
Not if one of the sticks is a match, it is.
Brother, did I ask for that one?
Yeah, you got it, too.
Yeah, you know, Buttram, sometimes I wonder how you ever got to be such a dope.
I worked a lot at night. Seriously, though, Mr. Artery, I was sick a lot. In fact, you won't believe this, but I couldn't see a thing till the family doctor finally gave me a prescription that improved my eyesight 100%.
Oh? And what did the prescription say?
Get a haircut.
That does it, brother. I give up.
Now, wait a second. I'll get my hat and go with you here.
No. Now, I'm serious. You get more stupid every day.
Oh, yeah? Well, just ask me a question. Any question. The toughest one you can think of. I don't care. Go ahead, ask it.
Okay, I will.
All right.
Now then, listen carefully.
Now quit stalling. Let's go now.
Okay. Just simmer down. Now, if a fisherman sold 500 pounds of codfish at $1 a pound, how much would he get?
Just a second. I'll figure it out. Let's see. Pair the two and six and drop the knot. No, the sticks are too heavy. Carry the two and... Did you say codfish?
Yes, I said codfish.
Well, no wonder I was having trouble. I was working on salmon.
Go on, Patrick. And now here are the Cass County boys to open up your heart. Kids, let's have it.
Open up your heart and let the love shine through. Open up your heart and make my dreams come true. Let me through that iron curtain. Let me know our love is certain. Open up your heart and let me in. Baby, I've been mighty lonesome. Baby, I've been mighty blue. And the reason for it all is plain to see. From the very first day I met you, you've been walking in all my dreams. It's time you gave a little thought to me. Why don't you open up your heart and let the love shine through? Open up your heart and make my dreams come true. Let me through that iron curtain. Let me know our love is certain. Open up your heart and let me in. If I never do get you for my blushing bride, if the wedding bells never ring out, if I never do hold you tight, well, it won't be because I never tried. Why don't you open up your heart and let the love shine through? Open up your heart and make my dreams come true. All the other birds are mating, why do you keep hesitating? Open up your heart and let me in.
I wonder what's become of Sally, that old gal of mine. The sun shines missing from our valley ever since the day Sally went away. No matter what she is, wherever she may be, if
No one wants her now. Please send her home to me. I'll always welcome back my Sally. That old gal of mine.
No matter what she is, wherever she may be, if no one wants her now, please send her home to me.
I'll always welcome back my Sally. That old gal of mine.
Ah, that's mighty fine song there, Gene. Everybody seemed to enjoy it.
Well, that's mighty fine, Johnny.
Don't think anybody's having a better time than Bert and Sarah Clayton. I sure wish everybody could be as happy as them two seem like.
Well, I do too, Johnny. But I can remember a time when things weren't quite so rosy for him.
Well, why? What was the matter?
Well, it started because of a little mix-up between Bert's father and Sarah's father. It was really an accident that caused the trouble, but it almost turned into a silly feud. You know, Johnny, I've always felt that a feud has a lot in common with gossip. It sure doesn't take much to get either of them started. A good many years ago, I was working as foreman on Charlie Clayton's friend. Another rancher named Clem Carter moved in from the neighboring state and bought the property adjoining Mr. Clayton's. And within a few months, he and Charlie had become mighty good friends.
Hey, golly, Clem. You're the only fella I ever met that could hold me alight as a checker player.
Well, that's 14 games for each of us, Charlie. What do you say we play off the tide?
Well, sure. It's early yet. By the way, where'd them two young'uns of ours get off to?
They rolled out early this afternoon. Said something about going over to a party the Hawkins girl was giving tonight.
Sure. You know, Clem, I've been watching your Sarah and my boy Bert. If we ain't careful, we're liable to wind up kin folks to each other.
Well, that'll suit me fine, shall we? Just fine.
Oh, well, howdy, Gene. Come on in.
Hello, Gene.
Well, hello, Mr. Carter. Charlie. Say, I hate to interrupt your game, Charlie, but I'm afraid that we've got a mix-up on our hands over in the south pasture.
Oh, what's wrong?
Well, I don't know whether somebody cut the fence or not, but it's down. And your herd is mixed up with Mr. Carter's.
Oh, that's so. Well, we will separate him in the morning. Me and Clem here want to play off a 14-game tie.
Sure. There's nothing to worry about, Gene.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure about that, Mr. Carter.
What do you mean?
Well, if the two of you will ride over to the south pasture with me, I'll show you. Well, there you are, fellas. There's two herds. Yours and Mr. Carter's, Charlie. Now you tell me how we're going to separate over 300 head of cattle when they're all Herefords with the identical brands.
Say, he's right, Clem. We have got the same brand, Double C.
Well, I could always check my books, but offhand, I'd say I had around 130 head there. How about you, Charlie?
Well, I figure I got an even 200.
Okay, that takes care of the size of the herd. But how are you going to tell which is which?
Easy, Gene. You take, for instance, them steers over there by the oak tree. I can tell you right off. They're mine. All except them two scrawny ones, that is.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, I'd recognize them steers a mile away. The patterns are mine.
No. Hold on, Charlie. It's all right to joke.
Yeah, well, who is joking? Why, only yesterday, me and my boys was commenting how much fatter my herd was than yours.
Fair. Why, you ain't got a head on your whole place. That'll measure up to any of mine, and you know it.
Well, you see, you old skin friend.
What'd you say?
You old skin friend.
Go say it again.
I will, you old skin friend. I just decided my herd was rustled in the first place.
You accusing me of cutting that there fence, Clayton?
I wouldn't put it past you. No,
now wait just a minute here.
Now wait a minute.
Hold on, you two.
Well, that's the way it started. And as the days went on, the quarrel got worse. Not only did Charlie and Clem stop speaking to one another, but Charlie ordered his son, Bert, to stop seeing Sarah. And Clem ordered Sarah to stay away from Bert. But one afternoon, I was riding back to the ranch, and I spotted the two youngsters down by the river.
Well, hello there, kids.
Oh. Hiya, Gene.
Hope I'm not interrupting, am I?
Oh, no, Gene. I was just about to leave anyway.
Oh, now, hold on, sir. You two haven't been quarreling, have you?
I'm afraid we have.
That's too bad. Look, kids, this isn't your fight.
We know that, Gene. We've been trying to stay out of it, but... Well, it's kind of hard not to take sides.
Sure. I could understand that.
After all, my dad isn't entirely to blame.
And neither is mine. Nor is he as stubborn as...
No, I didn't say he was any more stubborn than
Please,
my dad.
Please, Bert. I'd rather not talk about it anymore. I think I'll ride back to the ranch now.
Well, I'll go a ways with you.
No, don't bother. I'd rather go back alone. Bye, Gene.
Bye. Well, I'd been afraid the youngsters would get themselves tangled up in the feud sooner or later. And now it was happening. On the way back to the ranch, Bert and I had a long talk, and something told me, gave me an idea. That night I rode over to Carter's ranch to see his foreman, Pete Snowden. Pete was an old friend of mine, and I was pretty sure that he'd go along with my plan.
Yes, you're right, Gene. It'd be a shame if this crazy feud spoiled things for Sarah and Bert. Oh, they're mighty nice kids.
That's right. Well, you think you can talk Carter into falling for our scheme?
Well, you just leave it to me. I've been with Clem for a long time, and he usually listens when I got some advice to hand out.
Good. And be sure you let Sarah know what we're up to. Well, I'll go on back to the ranch and have a talk with Charlie.
What do you mean I've been handling this all wrong?
You've told Bert a dozen times to stay away from the Carter girl. But it hasn't done much good, has it?
Well, no, it ain't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I figured things would work out by themselves if you tried a different approach, Charlie.
Like what?
Well, you've been aiming to give Bert a herd of his own, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Then why not give him the one in the south pasture? The one that's all mixed up with Carter's.
What good would that do?
Well, the youngsters are trying not to take sides in this feud. But... if you were to give your part of the herd to Bert,
say, I see what you're driving at, Gene. Yes, it'd be his fight against Carter. And you can bet my Bert wouldn't let that rustling old skin flint put anything over on him either.
Well, he'd be mighty proud of owning a herd like that.
Well, sure he would. Now, come on, Gene. Let's go find the boy and tell him.
And so Charlie signed over the cattle to Bert. Following morning, the three of us rode out to the south pasture. Clem, Carter, and Sarah were already there.
Oh. Well, good morning, Mr. Carter. Sarah?
Well. Morning, Gene. Bert?
Huh.
Yeah, no one, no rustler speaking to me, no how.
Say, I've been thinking about this mix-up with the herd, Mr. Carter.
Don't talk to me about it, son. It belongs to Sarah now. I give it to her as a present.
What? You what? Wait a minute. I gave my part of the herd to Bert.
Well, I'm a bow-legged curiosity.
Well, it looks like it'll be up to the youngsters to straighten out this mess. Only I don't think it'll be such a problem.
What do you mean by that?
Well, he means, Dad, that we won't have to unscramble the herd.
Then why not?
Well, you see, Mr. Clayton, Bert and I were married secretly over a month ago.
Married?
Mm-hmm.
You and Bert married?
That's right, Dad.
Well, I'm a long-eared... See here, Gene Autry. Did you know about this? Now, you're the one that talked me into turning my herd over to Bert.
Oh, he must have known, Charlie. Him and Pete Snowden. Pete talked me into turning my herd over to Sarah.
I'd say it was a nice wedding present for the kids, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, Clem, we'd better get out of here before they make us look like we're so dumb we couldn't track a load of hay across a snowfield.
Yeah, but what are we going to do?
Well, if I remember right, the two of you still have a 14-game checker tie to play out.
By golly, he's right, Charlie.
Yeah. Well, what in the name of sweet misery are we waiting for, Clem?
Yeah, well,
one thing is sure. Yeah. It's pretty hard to mix up checkers so you can't tell them apart.
Yeah.
Folks, we've come again to the time you've all been waiting for. Cowboy Classic time. What more could we all want than a home in the West and let the rest of the world go by? With someone like you, a pal good and true, I'd like to leave it all behind and go and find some place that's known to God alone. Just a spot to call our own. We'll find a key where joys never cease. Out there beneath the kindly sky, we'll build a sweet little nest somewhere in the West and let the rest of the world go by. Where joys never cease. Out there beneath the kindly sky, we'll build a sweet little nest somewhere in the West and let the rest of the world go.
That was beautiful, Gene. You know, the seasons come and the seasons go, but at Melody Ranch, the doors are always open to friends and good music.
Well, that's how we try to keep it, Charlie. And now, this is Gene Autry asking you to keep thinking of us.
Next week at this same time, Gene Autry and all the gang from Melody Ranch will be heard over these same stations. Charlie Lyon, inviting you to be tuned our way.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.